Okay? We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2 today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I think I really have a favorite verse in the Bible, but this might be it. As far as a life verse, a verse to live by. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Who are you? What is your identity? When people hear your name, what do you think comes to their mind? What do you want to come to their mind? Personally, I think this is what I would want them to think. I would want them not to think of me, really. I would want them not to see me, but to see Christ. Because that is who I should be. That is who I am. That is who Christ has made me. That is my identity. Think about the person who wrote this letter to the church of Galatia, Apostle Paul. When you think of him, what do you think? I think the greatest missionary who ever lived. That's what I think. But before that, who was he? He was Saul, probably the greatest enemy of the gospel at that time. His whole life, his whole reason for waking up in the morning was that he hated the gospel of Jesus Christ and he wanted to wipe it off the face of the earth. That is what he lived for. He would have said, if you had asked him on the street, if you tried to witness to him and asked him, "How do you think you're going to heaven?" He would have thrown you in jail first. But if he had answered, he would have said, "I do right. I do good works. See all those Pharisees, all the example they try to set? I am stricter in my religion than all of them. And I hope that's what will get me to heaven." But he learned later he was wrong. He learned, as he had that encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and then had the gospel given to him, he learned, "I am not good enough. All of my righteousness, all of my good works are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If we had a competition to jump to the moon, we'd all fail. We'd all come short. It's the same thing. We cannot get to heaven on our own works. We need Jesus Christ. And that was the Apostle Paul learned. He used to think he could get to heaven by doing good, but now he knows that he cannot. And now that he knows that, he has that desire, that burden to share it with those around him. Not only with those around him, but with those far away. Those people who are so far away that no one is telling them the gospel. They surely don't know anyone who is telling them the gospel. They need to hear. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he could have said, you know, someone else will tell them. Surely God will give that burden to someone else. But no, he decided to go. So that's something we all should consider for ourselves. I wish I could go to every country, but can't. So I have to go to Honduras, settle for that, and send people from Honduras to other countries. And while we're here, if there's anyone here, if you're called to missions, we'll encourage you to go as well. So that's how it does. Now, Apostle Paul received the gospel, had that burden to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was given that new identity. He was a completely new person. He used to hate the gospel. Now he loves the gospel. That's what he wakes up for every morning. He wakes up every morning, I'm sure, thinking, who do I get to share the gospel with today? Who needs to know? That is what he lived for, and eventually what he died for. That's what history tells us. He died for what he believed in, and he counted it not a sacrifice at all to die for Christ. A very reasonable thing. It just makes sense. How does it make sense? Well, he loved me and gave himself for me. I love Revelation 5 and verse 12, which says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." In one word, Jesus Christ is worthy of receiving everything that I have to offer him. Why is he worthy? We could think of many reasons. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Because he says he's worthy. But no, this verse says he was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. If two soldiers are in combat together, and the one soldier, he gets his legs cut off from under him, right, shot out from under him, and his friend has the ability to help him, how long do you think it takes his friend to decide whether he will help his friend, his comrade, or not? He probably doesn't even make a conscious decision. He probably just reacts. If he cares for his friend, if he understands his friend would do the same for him, he sees the injury come to his friend, he sees him in desperate need, he just reacts. So why so often do we deliberate? Why do we take time deciding whether we'll tell someone the gospel or not? I've done that before. Have you? Looking at people, maybe you're waiting in line for something and you say, that person, I don't know if they'd be a good listener. I don't know if they'd be very receptive. That person looks like a Muslim. I don't think they'd listen, right? Do we do that? Sometimes. We shouldn't. If there is one person who would have appeared to be very unreceptive of the gospel, I think it would have been the Apostle Paul. Who would have thought that Saul would have received the gospel of Jesus Christ? Certainly most people would not have taken the risk. And yet, it happened. So you don't know, if you take the time to share the gospel with someone, you don't know what God may end up doing with their life. I did not grow up in a very strong Christian family. We'd go to church occasionally, sometimes. But someone took the time when we were going to the church. We only went there for a year or two. Someone took the time to share the gospel with me. And I'm no one special, really, just a messenger. But that person took those few minutes, and now God is using me and my wife to go tell people in Honduras. Again, I'm no one special, just someone who has a desire to share what God has given to me. We should all have that same desire. Again, God is placed you where you are, put people in your life who you know, that I do not know, people that I cannot reach, people that even your pastor cannot reach in the same way that you can. Most people, especially on the mission field in different countries, they're not going to go to church because I invite them. They're more likely to go because a family member who already goes to church invited them. That's that getting those first few people, that's the hard part, right? But after that, it starts to go better. That's true. People are more likely to listen to you if you're a family member, a friend who has shown through the years that you care, that you've been there for them. So take the time to use that to your advantage. Share the gospel with them. You may lose some friends. Maybe even some family members will get mad at you. But what do they stand to lose if you don't tell them? So let's do that. So Christ has given us that new identity, those new desires. It has been said that your habits, all right, determine your identity. And your identity determines your habits. So our identity determines our habits. Let's look at that. I am a Christian. Yes, I'm in full-time ministry, but everyone, all of us, are full-time Christians if you have received Christ as your Savior. That is who you are. I am crucified with Christ. So I'm dead. That is what crucifixion is, right? I'm dead. My old nature, my old goals, my old dreams for life are now captive to what Jesus Christ wants for me. So I'm dead. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I'm still alive, right? But it's not me who's alive, really. It's Christ who lives in me. So if we are to put this question another way, if Christ was living your life, how would he live it? If Christ was living your life this week, who would he set aside the time to share the gospel with? Think of those names. Who would he share the gospel with? Maybe even people you don't know even know their names, right? They need to hear. You may be the only person they know who could tell them the gospel. And it's not good to say someone else will take care of it. Right. My first job out of high school, I worked in a hospital kitchen. And sometimes things, you know, maybe they fall on the ground. I'd be stocking things, shelves in the back. Maybe a box fell. Maybe it was there. Maybe I didn't even drop it. And then maybe say it's my lunch break. It's time for me to clock out. I'm hungry. Someone else will take care of that. It'll get done. Maybe. Maybe not. But maybe everyone has that same mindset. And maybe it'll sit there for a few days. That's just a box, whatever, not important. Lost souls, though. And never knowing for sure if that person will still be alive next week. We need to seize the moment now and share the gospel with them now. I'm sure you've heard that kind of analogy used, right? That manner of speaking when someone is preaching, telling people, today is the day of salvation. You need to receive the gospel today. Don't put it off. That goes the same way when we have the gospel already and we know someone who needs to hear and they need to be told. And quite possibly we're the one to tell them. Today is the day to tell them. Don't wait. Ultimately, yes, it is their responsibility to receive or reject it. That's not on our hands. But what is on our hands is whether we've ever told them or not. We should have a desire. Look, this is a command, yes, that Jesus has given us. Make disciples of all nations. Teach them all things. But it's also our joy. Should be our joy. Our source of happiness in life. Let me tell you this. Yes, if you are not sharing the gospel with people, yes, you are disobeying. There is that. But you're also missing out on joy. You're not being who God has made you to be. Look at Galatians chapter 5. It gives this list of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh, of course. Long list. Sin is what it is. That is who we were before we were saved. That is what God saw when he looked at us. That is what we were known for. But now we're saved. Now we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That's verse 22 of Galatians 5, long-suffering. All of those things. That is what we should be known for now. Why am I no longer known for my sin? Because that is not who Christ is. And if that is not who Christ is, it is no longer who I am. Who I am now is who Christ is, which is all of those wonderful things. Now, that's what God sees when he looks at me. But I should also strive to live up to that, so that when the lost person looks at my life, they don't say, hypocrite. Because obeying the law of God should not be a thing that is burdensome for me, that is grievous to me. It's something that I should understand, that God has given me these laws to improve my life, yes, but to show his glory, right, so that I can be a testimony to the lost. Because, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we have received Christ as our Savior, if you've done that, you are living in the Spirit. So why wouldn't you also walk in the Spirit? Does that make sense? If I'm a professional basketball player, how would I spend most of my time? Playing basketball, practicing basketball, that's who I was. All right? If that was who I was, that is what I would do with my time. I probably wouldn't spend a lot of time doing carpentry work or crocheting or anything like that. Basketball, right? That is how they become a pro. It takes sacrifice. It takes dedication, especially people in the Olympics, right? How do they be the best when everyone else is also striving to be the best? They have to be better than the best. They have to give all their time to that thing. Now, I'm not saying that every waking moment you are to tell people the gospel nonstop. Every time you open your mouth, it's something about the gospel. But you can use everything you have, every opportunity God has given you, to bring up the gospel. God has called my wife and I to do it full time. That's a blessing. But that's not always necessarily the most efficient way to lead people to the gospel. Not all people. God has many, many different ways and many different people, and He can use them all to bring about His purpose. And again, simply put, you can reach people that I can't. Reach them with the gospel. And you don't know how God will end up using them. So we talked about our identity determines our habits, right? If I am a Christian, if Christ was living my life, He's going to use a lot of His time telling people the gospel, showing them the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. On the other hand, our habits determine our identity. We touched on that. These works of the flesh. If I am a Christian, why would I do these things? Now, in the eyes of God, yes, I'm saved. My identity is in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm covered. I could sin, and Christ would forgive me. But Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." See, Christ loves us so very much. There is no greater example of love. If we are saved, if He is living in us, that is how we would strive to live. It only makes sense. So we are covered by the grace of God. But again, I mentioned the world. The world watches, and the world knows how a Christian ought to live. They do. They know. And so they watch you and judge. And if you're not living how they know a Christian ought to live, why would they listen to anything you have to say about Jesus? It's important. It is very important. Take the time this week to be who Christ has made you. Strive to be more and more like Him. Share the gospel with those around you. We could come up with excuses, probably, right? We often do. Maybe you feel you don't know enough of the Bible. Maybe you feel you don't know all the answers to all of the questions. You're no exception. I think everyone feels like that. Especially when I read the book of Romans or something like that, I might have to read a passage several times before I understand what the Apostle Paul, that theologian, was trying to say, right? How can a man use a sentence and fill up an entire page in one sentence? That is great. But, so very complex, very theologic, but when you read the book of Acts, and he's sharing the gospel with someone, What does he do? He tells them, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Tells them his story. This is who I used to be. This is what Christ did for me, how he changed me, and this is how you can have the same thing. That's something we all can do. And you may not have quite as dramatic of a story as the Apostle Paul. I doubt that you do. But just remember what Christ has done for you, where you would be without him. And that should motivate you. Understanding the love of Christ and how wonderful he is, that should motivate you to go out and share the gospel with those around you. Tell people your story. Tell people how good God has been to you. Tell them who you were. Tell them what Christ did for you. And tell them how they can have the same thing. Encourage them. I try not to do this, add one little thing at the end, but I have to. Once you've witnessed to someone and they've received Christ as their Savior, continue to teach them what you have learned. Get them to the point where they can do the same thing. Go out and share the gospel with those around them.